Now, as we all know, today is the day of Pentecost, and if you haven't figured that out by now, then, well, now you do know. But this day is also known as the Feast of First Fruits. It is a day that we are commanded to keep annually, as instructed by God, a day that very few in this world even keep, and those who do keep it, let's say outside the church, fail to understand the significance on what this day actually pictures and what this day symbolizes. Now, what about us in the church? Do we really know as to why we keep it? I'm sure most of us do know that, because we are reminded each and every year, we remind ourselves as to why we do keep it from the messages we've heard already, as we do in every holy day. It's a refresher, and we refresh ourselves by the messages we hear. But what does this entail to be first fruits, and why is this so important? Because we, the church, are a separate people. We are separate from the world. We are separate in what we believe, since we believe in the whole Bible, while the rest of the world does not. We believe and keep all the Ten Commandments. We keep all the commanded holy days, while most of the world does not. We are separate from the world because of our beliefs. And it's our beliefs, which is the last thing that this world wants to know about or even be a part of. However, in God's eyes, we are first. For we have been called out of this world and called to the truth and to the salvation in this day and age, for we are first fruits. And that is the title of my sermonette, or offertory, for we are first fruits. Now, there is much to be desired, for we have this special calling and understanding, and we, the church, have the first chance to be in the kingdom. Now, take it from our Q&A on the significance of first fruits, which was written by our former evangelist, Mr. Edwin Pope. He says, quote, "When Christ returns to the earth to establish his kingdom, those who have died in Christ will be resurrected first to immortality and glory to meet him in the air. Then those who are living and faithful to their calling will also be changed into spirits and will rise to meet their king in the air." Christ is the first of the first fruits, and those who are his at his coming are the first fruits of God. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 and 23. We read, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. For each one on his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming." And then verse 24, then comes the end. "The rest of mankind will have the opportunity in the kingdom later. And when this aspect of God's plan is completed," we read on in verse 24, "when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all the rule and all authority and power," verse 25, "for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet," verse 26, "the last enemy that will be destroyed is death." And then verse 28, "now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all." You know, once God has called someone to the truth at this time, we have a responsibility to be faithful to that calling so that we can have the opportunity to live for eternity in the kingdom of God. So do we see the importance of being a first fruit? Now, why would we want to give up that special gift? Now, we heard in the sermon this morning from Mr. Rob Harris, where he talked about a special gift. And I am going to actually go back to that scripture in James chapter 1, verse 17, where we see where this special gift comes from. Every gift, as a matter of fact. James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. In verse 18, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The first fruits referred to here is you and me, the few that are chosen. Do we not realize where we are now in this present age? Do we realize what we have now and what we're doing now and how we're living is just temporary? Our human lives, we live, what we do day in and day out is just for a moment. We've all heard the sayings, we say it many times, we hear it from others. It seems like only yesterday, we met for church. Well, we did. But as the week goes by, we understand that. Where has the time gone by? Man, if I can only go back 10 years, how I would do things differently. How time flies by, yes, it really does. Yet we still live the life we have now. We still fight to live God's way, for it is a struggle. For we live to be examples. We live to be as lights, as we heard this morning. For we are tested every day in trials, and our faith gets us through them. And that's the key. It is our faith that gets us through all our trials. Because it is a faith that we have, which is why we are blessed. We live with God in our lives, and we will be blessed. We put our trust and we put our confidence in Him, and we keep His word, and we live by faith without doubt, and that's hard to do, believe me. But we keep doing that, and we live by faith, we will be blessed. It's a promise that God gives us, that God tells us in His word. We are still here to make a difference. By that, we do what we do every week, every day. Whether it is through updates or literature, whether we preach the gospel to the world, it's a difference that we are making to the world. And isn't it joy when God calls someone out of the world to be a part of His family, to become a first fruit, to receive His Spirit as we await for something far greater? Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 23 through 25. We'll read in verse 23. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the sonship, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Yes, we have a temporary life right now, but it's because we are waiting with perseverance, we know there is something far greater in store for us. Since we are first fruits, and we are all here observing the significant day of Pentecost, we are also commanded to give to God what we owe Him, since He has blessed us, and He will continue to bless us if we remain faithful. In significance to this day, we see in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 10 through 17, what God had required of Israel to give of the first fruits of the land obtained from their labor and their works. It bears a special meaning by what this represents for us today and in the future. So let's read in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 10 through 17. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf on the day after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. And you shall offer on that day when you wave the sheaf a male lamb of the first year without blemish as a burnt offering to the Lord. Its grain offering shall be 2/10 of an ephah on fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made by fire to the Lord. For sweet aroma and its drink offering shall be of wine 1/4 of a hin. You shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor fresh grain until the same day that you have brought an offering to your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. And verse 15, and you shall count for yourselves from, better beginning with, the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. We count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath, then you shall offer new grain offering to the Lord. Verse 17, you shall bring from your dwellings 2 wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be a fine flour that shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits to the Lord. What's significant about this is the sheaf of the first fruits represented Christ as the first of the first fruits. And the 2 loaves that are represented here are those who are called, that God has called, down through the ages, who, if they are faithful to their calling, will make up the first fruits of God, whom he will use as he establishes his kingdom on this earth. The kingdom is not here yet. Not there yet, but it's close. And we know that. But we are still required to give an offering to show our appreciation for the gift God has given us. The future promise that will be given to us to thank him for the blessings that he gives us, as he will continue to bless us as we live to please him, for we are his first fruits.